Today is Thursday, February the 11th, 2016. We're going to hear Reb Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Teruma.
Yes, I'd like to just take a minute of your time. I'd like to thank all of you for coming and sharing this wonderful class with Rabbi Soloveitchik in Young Israel today. I'd like to just take a couple of minutes to thank those that set the room up for us and helped me set up the room with the food. It's such a pleasure to have such people around, and it really is appreciated. I'd like to thank an anonymous donor for bringing in some plates and some cups for us and supplies, and it was really very generous. We appreciate it. I just would like to thank him publicly without mentioning his name.
What are his initials?
DG. We're going to be davening Marv about 3 minutes after the class.
Yep.
I'm going to ask everybody to be kind enough to take their phones.
Oh.
including the Rebbetzin.
Thank you.
And please
vibrate.
Please shut them down, if you will.
Vibrate.
Like I'm doing.
Pinchas likes to vibrate.
It's actually not a thing. The shut off button on my phone doesn't work.
I'd also like to mention that I thank the rabbi of the shul and in the synagogue here for being so generous in allowing us to have this wonderful class here in Northbrook. It's very much appreciated. The class is being sponsored in memory of three people, and I'll let Reb Moshe tell you who they are.
Okay, first... Dr. Perlmutter's mother, Dvora Bas Ruven HaKohen, and Mrs. Perlmutter's mother, Fega Bas Alexander, and Mrs. Leonard's mother, Chayesara Bas Alter Ben Zion HaKohen. I was going back and forth in my mind what to talk about, whether I should talk about Parshas Teruma or I should talk about Adar. Anybody?
We've got 2 months to talk about Adar.
No, not about Adar Aleph. Anyway, okay, we'll speak about Parshas Teruma. Okay.
What's more fun?
Huh?
What's more fun?
I don't know. If I speak about Adar next week, you'll tell me. Fun is dependent upon the one that hears it. There is a now Parshas Teruma really introduces us into the mitzvah of the building of the Mishkan, the building of the tabernacle, the temple that the Jewish people had in the desert that they carried with them, and wherever they camped they put it together. And there is a dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban as to what was the purpose of the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, of building a temple, the temple. The Rambam's opinion is that the purpose of building the temple was to have a place where we could serve God. Service of God means giving the sacrifices, coming there at the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, the Shalosh Regalim. So the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, and we can assume that the same was true about the Mishkan, was to have a place to do the Avoda. The Ramban says, no, it's true that the Avoda had to be done in the Mishkan, but the purpose of the Mishkan, and one can assume that he would say the same thing about the Beis HaMikdash, the main purpose was to have a place for the Yaron, to have a place for the Ark. Now, there is a question that's raised, and that question is, it's well known that in the second Beis HaMikdash there was no ark. The ark was hidden at the time shortly before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, even though it seems from the Gemara there were individual Kohanim that knew where it was hidden, but you needed the word of a Navi, the prophet, to tell us to come and to take the ark and to put it back in its place. And at the very beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were a few prophets. Apparently, that was not one of the messages that they gave over. And after the first generation of the building of the second temple, there were no more prophets. The period of prophecy came to an end. So the question is, there was no ark in the second Beis HaMikdash. If there was no ark, and if the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash is to have a place for the ark, so why did they build the second Beis HaMikdash? Now, there are a number of possible answers. One answer can be based on something that the Rambam says. The Rambam discusses all the utensils. He says there is a mitzvah The Rambam discusses about the ark. Before we get to that, the Rambam discusses about the ark, and he says that at the end of the second temple there was a command to Yeshaya to move the ark, to have the ark moved and hidden, and because of that, and he says, and the question is, where was it hidden? So the Rambam says there's a discussion in the Gemara, but the Rambam accepts one opinion, and he says it was hidden right below, in a lower chamber, under the Holy of Holies. In other words, right below where it was in the first base of Mikdash. So it was hidden, there was a lower chamber. And then the Rambam goes out of his way to say, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, when he built the temple, he knew Beruach HaKodesh, he knew through divine inspiration that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And because of that, he built a lower chamber that when the need arose, that the ark should be moved over there. Now, the question is, and this question I saw in my uncle's name, the Shirim, the written, I also saw it in the Lubavitcher Rebbe's name. The Rambam is a book in which it's a law book. The Gemara is not limited, the Talmud is not limited to laws. Certainly it's full of laws, but there's a lot of pages in the Gemara that tell us about events, even though they might not have halachic ramifications. There is a gadita that do not seem to have halachic ramifications. So we would understand that the Gemara would discuss that. But the Rambam is a book of law. The Rambam doesn't go into explaining events that happened. He didn't see that as his task. So the question is, so why does the Rambam, all the Rambam should say is that the ark was hidden. Okay, maybe you say in a lower chamber. Why does he have to go in to tell us that King Solomon knew Beruach HaKodesh, knew through divine inspiration that the Beis HaMikdash, that the temple is going to be destroyed, and consequently he built a lower chamber? And my uncle and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, they both gave the same answer. I don't know if people are aware, but they were in Berlin at the same time. They were both students in Berlin at the same time. And they were friendly with one another. So that actually, he says, the lower chamber was part of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he made a lower chamber which wasn't just underneath the Beis HaMikdash. He made two places. It's not that the ark was taken to a place that was not its place. The King Solomon made in the temple two places for the Aron, one on top of the other, one in a underground chamber and one above. Matter of fact, if you take the tours of the tunnels, so the guide will point to a certain cement part of the wall and they'll say, this is the area that where the sub chamber is, and that the Arabs, because they didn't want the Jews to get in there, so they cemented over the area. I don't know why, and a whole story. Now there's a whole disagreement where the Holy of Holies was on the mountain. That's why one is not supposed to go. One is not supposed to go. First of all, you don't have to go to the Holy of Holies. Even in the Azara, someone who is Tameh is not supposed to go. So there are all kinds of different opinions exactly where the Azara was and where the Holy of Holies was. So that's one opinion. I have a friend that he has a very... who looked into it, and he said to me, if they dug through that wall, they could dig halfway around the earth and they wouldn't find it. Anyway, but there are other opinions as well. But so in other words, the Aron remained permanently. It remained permanently in the Beis HaMikdash. So when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, the basement of the Beis HaMikdash, which was part of the Beis HaMikdash, contained the Aron. So in other words, the building of the Beis HaMikdash was to have a proper place, a proper building, a proper structure for the Ark. Now, so if we understand that, so now the question against the Ramban is answered. However, I think there is another possible answer. And both answers have to be understood. In other words, we have to have a place for the Aron. It doesn't mean that we have to have the Aron. You have to have a place for the Aron. Now, I'll give you an example of what I mean. Let's say I have a house. I go away, but the house is still my house. I take a trip. There is a place for me. It's in a sense, I'm still a resident of that place, even though I'm not there. A matter of fact, the halacha was on Yom Kippur, the Kohen would have to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim and sprinkle blood by the Aron. And when there was no Aron, the second base of Mikdash, he sprinkled it on the place of the Aron. So there is a special halacha. There's a special halacha of having a place for the Aron. So even if there wasn't an Aron, even if there was, the Ark was not there, but you have to have a place for the Aron. Sometimes when a child goes away to school, but you tell the child beforehand, your room is still here. Huh? Your room is still here. This is still your house. That's the idea of a place for the Aron. We have to have a place for the Aron. But we have to understand, what is the lesson behind these two answers? Now, it's interesting. The Rambam, he talks about the mitzvah. There is one mitzvah of building the utensils of the Mishkan, and he lists the utensils. He lists the mizbeach, the altar. He lists the shulchan. He lists the kiyor, where the kohanim washed their feet. He lists the different utensils that were used in the service of the Mishkan, but he does not list the Aron there. And the question is, why doesn't he list the Aron? And the Ramban says that there is no mitzvah. The Ramban has a special mitzvah of having the Aron, having an Aron in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Rambam doesn't have. So if you look at the Rambam's 613 mitzvahs, he doesn't mention a mitzvah of having the Aron in the having an Aron in the Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't mention it, or having an Aron. He doesn't mention it as one of the 613 mitzvahs. He has a mitzvah, how the Aron is to be carried, that he has. But he doesn't have a mitzvah that you have to have an Aron. And the question is, why doesn't he have the mitzvah? Now, my uncle suggested a certain answer. And it's in a letter to my grandfather. And my grandfather said that the answer answers one question, but it didn't answer the other question. My uncle said there is a dispute between the Ramban and the Rambam. Now, let's say it would happen that the Aron was destroyed. I'm sure you all saw the movie, no? Okay.
So,
yes. Okay, now, you think I ask people questions that I can't answer? Anyway, so the the question is, what would happen in theory? Because we believe that the Aron is the same Aron that was made by Moshe Bitsalo. It's the same Aron that was made by Moshe Bitsalo. But we believe that that's the Aron that will ultimately be there. However, what would happen? Let's talk theoretically. What would happen if the Aron got destroyed? If the Aron got destroyed, would there be a mitzvah to make another Aron? If the Aron was destroyed? Or is the mitzvah only to have the Aron of Moshe? So the question is like this. Is the Aron, my uncle raised the question, is the Aron, is the Ark, a utensil of the Mishkan? Or no, the Ark is not a utensil of the Mishkan. The Ark was to carry the Luchos, to carry the tablets. But when the Jewish people were at rest, when they camped, whether it was a temporary camp or a permanent camp, the Aron was placed in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash. And it's very interesting. In this week's Sedra, we find that the Aron had stabs. The stabs couldn't be taken away from the Aron. But more than that, the other utensils also had stabs. But the other utensils, the stabs were only used when they were carrying, let's say the menorah, or the shulchan, or the table. When they were carrying it on their journey, they would put the stabs in. But the ark, even after they came to the Beis HaMikdash, even after King Solomon built the Beis HaMikdash, the staves had to stay in the Aron. The mitzvah of carrying the menorah on staff was limited to the desert. It did not apply once the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of carrying the shulchan, the table, was only when the Jewish people were traveling through the desert. But once they came to the Beis HaMikdash, so there was no mitzvah of staves, and if they ever had to move it, there was no requirement to use staves. But the Aron could only be carried at any time. The Ark had to be carried with staves. Why is that? But the answer is very simple. The menorah is a utensil of the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah is a utensil of the Beis HaMikdash. According to the Rambam, this is not true according to the Rambam, what I'm going to say. The shulchan, the table, was a utensil of the temple. The Aron was not a utensil of the temple. The purpose of the Aron was to have a place to carry the menorah. To carry the luchos, to carry the Ten Commandments, the tablets. But the purpose of because of that, the halacha was that when you came to camping, you didn't have to carry it anymore. So basically, the way I put it to you is, the Aron, the Ark, was a suitcase. It was a suitcase. It was made for when you have to travel. It was made to take the Ten Commandments, the tablets of the Ten Commandments, from place to place. But you have to be ready, as some of the commentaries pointed, that at any moment you might have to take it. It's like you have to, someone who on moment's notice might have to travel. I don't remember, there's a certain group, I forgot which group, of Sephardic Jews, that on every Friday they would pack their
India.
They would pack their suitcase in case Mashiach comes. So they should be ready to go on moment's notice. So this was the Aron. The Ark was a suitcase, and it had to be ready on moment's notice. So it really wasn't the utensil. The purpose of a suitcase is not the house. The purpose of a suitcase is for traveling. But between travels, if you're scared, you might have to go on moment's notice. You have the suitcase ready to go. That's the way, the perception. That's why the Rambam felt building the Aron is not part of the mitzvah of the Mishkan. The Aron was made not to be part of the Mishkan. The Aron was made. The Ramban says it's part of the Mishkan. But the Rambam sheep opinion is the Aron was made as the suitcase for the Luchos. But when the Jews were at rest, when the Jews were at rest, they used to leave the Aron, like we, when we're traveling and we're stopping over, and we stop off at a hotel. Very often we keep the clothes in the suitcase. That's the opinion of the Rambam. But the question is, okay, but the Rambam should list it in the 613 mitzvos, that there's a mitzvah. It's not part of the mitzvah of a Mishkan, but it should be part of the mitzvah. There should be a separate mitzvah of having an Aron, of having a suitcase. And the answer is, the moving of the Aron, when Moshe was based on a commandment of Moshe in the desert, we find two types of mitzvahs that Moshe did. One type of mitzvah was mitzvahs that applied for all generations. He commanded the mitzvah of davening. That's for all generations. But there were commandments that he gave that had to do with particular situations. Moshe was both. He was the Navi of the Ad HaNaviim of all generations, and he was also the prophet of his generation. And he gave commandments that had to do with his generation that don't apply to our generation. And he gave commandments that apply to all generations. And the Navi says, the Torah says in the Chumash Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu says that God will appoint in every generation up till Nebuah ends, will appoint a Navi, a prophet, Kamoni, like me. But the Navi that's appointed, he deals primarily not with the Jews of all generations, but he deals with the needs of the Jews of his generation. And now, how does God appear to Moshe Rabbeinu, and how does God appear to the Nevi'im, to the prophets therefore, the Rambam lists the 613 mitzvos. He only lists the 613 mitzvos that are forever. That are forever. But mitzvos that were temporary, or mitzvos that are given by prophets, those are not included, according to the Rambam, in the 613 mitzvos. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he would say, put the Aron here, put the Aron there, put the Mishkan here, put the Mishkan there, that was what he was talking for his generation. But when it comes to when we have to have an Aron in the lower chamber, because the Navi at the end, the prophet Yeshaya, at the end told us to put it there, not because of the command of Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Mashiach will come and tell us to put it up in the upper chamber, it'll be because Mashiach told us, not because Moshe Rabbeinu told us. The question is, why is it that when it comes to all the utensils, it's all based on the original mitzvah? The menorah, the shulchan, the table, it's all based on the original mitzvah that was given by Moshe Rabbeinu. When it comes to the ark, it's not based on the mitzvah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's based on the mitzvah that the latest Navi commanded. Why is it that way? Now the question is, what was the purpose? What was the purpose? I always mention the Ramban and Parshas Truma and the beginning of Chumash Shmos. He says, the theme of Chumash Shmos is Yitzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. So up till the giving of the Torah, and including the giving of the Torah, which is Mishpatim is also, we understand. But the second half, from Parshas Truma onward, with some exceptions, that talks about the Mishkan. That should have been in Chumash Vayikra. Why is it in Chumash Shmos? And the answer is, the purpose of the Mishkan was to take the kedusha, the sanctity of Mount Sinai, and bring it to Jerusalem to perpetuate that experience. Now I always say, Yilu kirvanu lefnei hamakom in the Dayenu. I've said it so many times. If we say in the Dayenu, if God brought us to Mount Sinai and didn't give us the Torah, that would have also been something. What would have been so great coming to Mount Sinai? The answer is revelation, the experience of sensing the presence of God. That relationship, that personal relationship, the contact with God. God revealed himself at Mount Sinai. Even if we didn't get the Torah at Mount Sinai, we had contact, we sense his presence. Now, and the idea is this feeling, this contact with God. So what was in the Aron, the Luchos, which Moshe brought down at Mount Sinai? That was in the Ark. And what was on top of the Aron and later on in the side was the two Kruvim. What were the two Kruvim? The two Kruvim were two human baby images with wings over them. Now, what did those two with wings? When we talk about wings, what are we talking about? We're talking about angels. What's the idea behind angels? So, in last week's Sedra, the Torah said, Hine anochi shaleach malach lefanecha l'shmorcha l'aderach l'habiyacha el amokam asher chinosi. I am sending a malach before you to watch you on the road and to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. All the Mefarshim explain, what's the purpose of the Malach? Moshe Rabbeinu is able to talk to God himself. But Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who can talk to God himself. None of the other prophets are able to have a conversation directly with God. How do they have a conversation with other prophets? From Yehoshua onward, how do they have a conversation? Through angels. A matter of fact, many identify here Malach as a prophet who talks to an angel. But whatever it is, the Malach represents the giving over of the message to the prophet of future generations. To the prophet of future generations, to give over to the Jewish people. That was the purpose. The main purpose of the Malach was not in the time when the Jewish people were in the desert, because then God talked to Moshe himself. Where was the Malach needed? When the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, when Yehoshua took over, Yehoshua did not have that same direct connection with God. His the message of God was given to Yehoshua through a malach, through an angel. And all prophets were that way. So to be a prophet kimoni like Moshe for the needs of that generation, but they couldn't be exactly like Moshe. Moshe could talk, could hear from God directly. It's only through the angels. What was the idea of the Aron? The idea of the Aron was to take the Luchos of Sinai and bring it from place to place. But it's not just the Torah of Sinai that had to be brought. It's the idea, the feeling, the attachment to God that had to be brought. The attachment to God was what had to be brought. And how do, in future generations, how did we have that attachment? Through the prophet. And how did the prophet have that attachment? That was through the malachim, the angels, and the kruvim that stood by the Aron, by the ark. They were symbolic of those angels that continued this idea of having a connection, having a relationship with God. So that's why this mitzvah of moving the Aron is dependent upon a Navi, on a prophet. Because it's the idea of perpetuating that connection, of sensing the presence of God, of God being able to connect himself with the Jewish people. And in future generations, he connected himself to the Jewish people through the prophets. Now, problem is today, we don't have any prophets. Throughout the duration of the Second Temple, for most of the duration of the Second Temple, there weren't any prophets. So how is it? Where is that connection? Did that connection disappear? There's a very interesting expression. We're in Adar. I'm not talking about Adar, but Purim, the Gemara in Gemil Gila says, Esther Minayim in HaTorah. Where do we know Esther in the Torah? V'hanochi haster aster panai. God says, there'll come a time in history when I will hide my face. When someone hides, it's not running away. There's a difference between running away and hiding. Running away means I have no contact with you anymore. I'm trying to get away from you. Hiding means I don't want you to see me so clearly. But I'm still there. I'm watching. I am careful. That was the idea of the Aron on the upper level versus the lower level. And when the ark is on the upper level, that represents a period where we see the connection with God. When the ark is in the lower level, it's still there. The connection is there. But we can't see it. It's hidden. And in a sense, this also is the idea. That we need a place for the Aron. What's the idea of a place for the Aron? Place for the Aron that reinforces our bitachon, our belief. That although we can't see the connection right now, we look forward to the day when the connection is going to be returned. During the Second Temple, they needed the place for the Aron, even though they didn't have the Aron, because we have to be ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We have to look forward to the day when the Ark is going to be returned, and the connection that we presently still have with God will be seen by all of us.
Thank you very much. I'm going to request that everybody clean off their tables, leave the tablecloths on the tables, and in about 3 minutes, we're going to be davening Mara.